The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't face corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in His true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through His minister, we believe you'll be richly blessed.
Before you again, Son of God, Prince of Life, we are standing before you. You convened this meeting, and we are waiters upon you, waiting upon your spirit, waiting for breath, waiting for your word. We are grateful because you have set the table already, and we are moving from meal to meal upon this table, the table of great blessing, the table of great blessing, the table of great blessing. Thank you. Lord, I ask for mercy tonight. I lean upon you tonight. I lean not on my own understanding. I lean upon you, Lord Jesus, for direction and how to go. Thank you for mercy that is already over this walk and over this atmosphere. I plug into that allocation of mercy for tonight's ministration. That you alone be glorified and your people be edified. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's open our Bibles. Let's see John chapter 3. So we're talking about the full allocation of the gospel in Matthew 28. And Jesus commissioned the apostles. So even though those apostles started with the name of the Holy Ghost, they had experienced everlasting life in the form of Jesus being waved before them. Can we say amen? So what they were experiencing, everlasting life was waved before those apostles. And that's why when they came into the actual laying hold of it, it made a lot of sense. Can we all say amen? Let's go to Matthew 28 again. Let's go back there. Praise the Lord. I can hear your amen. Thank you, Pastor, for that very good foundation. Name of the Holy Ghost, laboring around that area and reminding us that you will not be able to lay hold on Christ without that. Very important. Normally, you know, because as a shepherd, I also make sure that I create room for that. We interface a lot of young people now in this walk that Satan generally has weakened the conversation in the church world. When I mean church world, then also, of course, in the head, there have been so much erosion. So it takes a lot of mercy to raise people and trust them into the life even of the Holy Ghost. I remember, like, I had the privilege to be pastored by Ignites. And so I understand a lot of discipline and spirit and training that goes along with that. And we must make sure that those things are available for this generation. It's one of our responsibilities, particularly my own generation. We have to, that is one of my wars at times, you know, as a local church pastor. Sometimes I want to pity people. I don't know, maybe I'm the only one that thinks, I just want to pity people that, can these people take this discipline? I remember the discipline that I went through, as a young boy, being trained. You look at a lot of weak, you know, you are pastoring people that are weak. And then at times you withdraw. You chastise, at times you have to withdraw and check and wait. And at times when I have the opportunity to speak with them, say, it's not like I can't bear with you, I can, but it's just that we don't have a lot of time. We don't have so much time. So I tell them, I say, I can bear with you, but I now found out we don't have so much time. We really have to pace up. There's so much heavenly attention on this work. I hope we all know that. There's so much heavenly, and we must get it right. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
So, sir, thank you for where you drew us to. We have to make sure that people are accessing that allocation also, that Agin allocation that you spoke of. We must access it. This generation must access it. The churches, the saints must access it so that people can be able to really live on Christ well. Can we say amen? And then come into the fullness of all the names. So, all power is heaven and earth. What did I say all power is? Heaven and earth. So I said witnesses is at those two levels. All right? And not like I'm saying. Now, the Holy Ghost is always pointing to Christ. So, name of Holy Ghost and Christ, they are within earth. Can we say amen? Because you can't even find earth without the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost is within the earth also. And the purpose of that name is to trust you into the world of Christ so that you acquire the power of Christ unto coming into inheriting the name of Christ. Can we say amen? And the name of Christ is a dominion. It is called kingdom. The kingdom of Christ and God. If it's a kingdom, it means that it can be won. The soul is supposed to wear a kingdom. What did I say a soul should do? So, kingdoms are garments. They are clothes or cloak. So, there is a dominion of Christ that can be measured by wearing Christ. And putting on Christ is to put on a dominion. So, they want to beat the soul into shape that it can put on Christ. Can we say amen? Same thing with God. So witnessing is measured in those two allocations. All right? So name of the Holy Ghost and name of Christ, they are within the earth of God. In fact, when Jesus was calibrating them in John 3, that's what he said. Okay, let's labor a little bit. I'll just take the teaching earth of God. From John chapter 1 to 12, take me to 12. All of the conversations before verse 12 are earthly things. Alright? He says, if I told you of earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of what? Heavenly things. So we can say there are two allocations of the gospel. Earth and heaven. Can we say amen? We must understand this alignment. Like I said, this alignment is forever in God. In the world of eternal life, you see, I have earth and heaven. Alright? So earthly things. So Jesus talked about, he began from new birth and taught into being born of the Spirit. Born of the Spirit as in born of water and of the Spirit. Can we all say amen? Amen. So, the new birth is the beginning of birth. Alright? What did I say the new birth is? There are many births in the kingdom. So, Jesus said, answered, I said, except a man be born again, he cannot what? See the dominion of God. Can we say amen? Alright? He cannot see the dominion of God. So even when you get born again, it's not automatic sight for the dominion of God. Can we say amen? There's a process that you still have to go through. You're just saying that the new birth empowers the Spirit. The Spirit is woken to be able to bring you to a point where you can see the dominion of God. But we understand that attached to the dominion of God is the dominion of Christ. Can we say amen? Meaning you can't enter the dominion of God without entering first the dominion of Christ. Meaning the destiny of man is to dwell in heaven. When I mean heaven, not heaven as a planet. Heaven as a state of life. That's the destiny of man. For you to take flight or ascend and take your abode in heaven. So, but you cannot become heavenly immediately. You must become earth of heaven. So, to access the dominion of God, you must first access the dominion of Christ. Can we all say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So, it says, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Let's go ahead. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered him, verily, verily, Jesus was just speaking beyond Nicodemus. He says, except a man be born of water and the Spirit. Can we say amen? So he cannot. So this is the water of spirit in the dimension of Christ. So this is the water of Christ and the spirit of Christ. He cannot enter. So how you enter the dominion of God is through that allocation that is found in Christ. Can we say amen? So Christ is the process of entering God. What did I say Christ is? So water and spirit, the water and spirit are allocations that now begins to raise the capacity of the soul to find entrance into the dominion of God. They have to strengthen the soul with power of the earth. What did I say they need to do? So with power of the earth. Earthy power, which is the name of Christ, beginning from the name of the Holy Ghost, is to strengthen the soul so that the soul can now enter into the dominion of God. Can we say amen? Amen. So the actual calling of man is to enter God's dominion. That is your calling. That is why you were crafted. Like I said, man is a thought in eternal life. You are a product of eternal life. So the only true safe abode for man is when man dwells in God. Can we say amen? Oh, hallelujah. Now look at verse 6. So that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. So when you go through earth, you become some kind of spirit. So this spirit here is the state of the soul. The soul acquires a windy nature. Can we all say amen? Amen. So when you see some of our fathers in the church, many of them are some kind of spirit. So because I don't want you to look so far, let's even look at some of our fathers. It's a kind of a spirit. There's just something that is a kind of a spirit. So the end is when you go to Christ, you become spirit. You can now take flight. I like your spirit. It means you need to be spirit to ascend. So the dominion of the learning of Christ sheds certain weight that limits men and ties them to the dust. It frees them from the attachment to this world, breaks that yoke, and causes them to begin to escape. So Christ is a kind of escape to find abode in God. Can we all say amen? Amen? So that which is born of the Spirit. The Spirit. Now look at verse 7 to 8. To marvel not if I say unto you that ye must be born again. So Jesus did not teach one bat. Can we say amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. There are many bats. From new bats to born of the Spirit to born of God. Even that born of God is in another season. You'll find out that 1 John chapter 3 verse 9. There is born of incorruptible seed. Then there is begotten of God in chapter 5. So because you can be born of the world and not born of the testimony. So you can see bats. So all those bats are to cause you to access the full dominion of God. Can we say amen? So he now said, so the wind bloweth where it listed, and thou hearest the sound thereof. I cannot tell where it cometh and whether it goeth. So is everyone. So this is what they want to do when you have become a product of earthly things. So everyone that is born of the Spirit. So they want you to become some kind of witness. Now look at, take me to verse 9, then we'll read down to 12. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? And Jesus said unto him, thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Very, very, I say unto you, We speak that which we know and testify that which we have seen, and ye receive not our what? So Jesus is saying, I am a witness. Meaning as at the time Jesus was speaking, Jesus had earth of God intact. Can we say amen? Of course, we know he had beyond that. But Jesus had it. So he was a witness to that life. So Jesus was speaking as a witness of the earth of God. I said we'll have witnesses here. Yeah. So Jesus spoke as a witness of the earth. So you say, then look at verse 12. And now says, if I have told you of earthly things. So all that is said from new birth to being born of the Spirit are earthly things. is the allocation of the gospel called the gospel of peace. So the gospel of peace is the climax of the head of God. Can we all say amen? Amen. So if I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you what? Of heavenly things. So earthly things should cause us to be a witness of the earth. And heavenly things should bring us into the witness of heaven. So now the witness of heavenly things is a soul witnessing eternal life. Can we say amen? That is what Jesus became. Now you will see it gradually. You can see Jesus taught. Jesus is also a teacher. You can see his thoughts are systematic. He's taking you now from the earth into heaven. So these arguments that you have eternal life or not, he will show you right now. Can we say amen? Eternal life is a promise. You can't have a promise and they are promising you. You can't have something and I'm promising you again. So, okay, I have eternal life already and they are still promising me again. No, they don't promise you what you have. Hope that is sin is no longer hope. So if you had eternal life at new birth, it's no longer a promise. Let us just become tabernacle of God. Now, when we say eternal life, we don't even know what it means. What does it mean? How can you have eternal life and you're not on the throne? Although I can't relate with it. Because the only thing that eternal life does, eternal life is only life found on the throne. No, it's the original. If you have eternal life, you will be seated. God will help me tonight. Because even Jesus overcame to sit. So meaning that when Jesus began ministry, he didn't have eternal life. Sir, am I lying, sir? He didn't have eternal life. He had everlasting life at the portion of the living soul. By the time Jesus started ministry, he was a living soul man. So that's everlasting life. Even not full everlasting life. Jesus did not have full everlasting life when he started ministry. So eternal life. You can't have eternal life and you are like this. When you have eternal life, the only place eternal life functions from is the abode of God. Joyner said in one of his books, I read that, but he wrote that book in 94. Praise God. He wrote it, I remember that book. I've forgotten the name of that book. I've forgotten, but it was a small pamphlet. Like he wrote the book in 94. I also follow Joyner. It's one of the reasons I really followed. Joyner helped me. When I read some of his materials as a teenager, I read Joyner as far back as 17 plus. Very early. Those visions, they stuck in my spirit. Even before those books became common, I had the opportunity to read them earlier. He said that salvation will be taught again in that book. He said the understanding of salvation will be taught over, that the church has limited understanding concerning salvation. Noted. So you can't have eternal life and they are still promising you again. Can we say amen? Yeah. Are we on the same page? Yes. I'm coming somewhere, right? Then any theology you cannot defend from Genesis is not consistent, because you see, you have to start your building of doctrine from Genesis. So the first man, did he have eternal life? The man. Because if he had eternal life, it will not be a promise. We know that the tree of life was a promise of eternal life. So Adam as a man, the Bible said he had God breathed into him. I told you what it meant. It's not oxygen. Adam had oxygen before breath. God breathed the precise life into him. That was the first men that God made. He made them within everlasting dominion. They were not flesh. They are not falling from the state of man. Man was supposed to interface with the everlasting God. First, that was God's original thought. That meaning you move into everlasting, onto everlasting. When you say everlasting to everlasting, that other everlasting is entering into eternal life. That's the design of God. So God came out of eternal into an everlasting domain to create an abode, a plane where man can meet him, so that he can now take man into his own abode. So that man was a living soul. He didn't have eternal life. Eternal life was supposed to be what? Was a promise. So he's supposed to obey the program to get eternal life. Hallelujah. Amen. Can we say amen? Amen. So it's clear. that eternal life is the promise of God to man. And it is accessed in the heavenly life. So until you come into the zenith of the heavenly life, you cannot come into the promise of eternal life. You must finish heavenly curriculum. And that's why when you are in heaven, when you have churches of heaven, Jesus will now begin to walk in their midst. Jesus is particular about heavenly churches. Because it is a pain in their heart when you ascend and you don't sit on the throne. When you appear in heaven, because you can appear in heaven as a church. A church can appear. I believe that we're already having churches appearing in heaven. And so this is a very crucial time, because they must monitor and guide those churches till those churches come into the what? Full manifestation of life eternal. Can we say amen? So now, if I tell you of heavenly things, so you mean Jesus will first tell us of earthly things, then he will tell us of heavenly things. Now let's gradually move. Thank you. And no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. This is a very interesting aspect of scripture. No man has ascended up to heaven. No man. So, no man. So all the men, they did not ascend. Enoch did not ascend to heaven. Elijah did not ascend to heaven. Can we say amen? When Jesus is talking about heaven, he's not talking about heaven as a place. He's talking about heaven as a state, as a dominion of life. He's talking about the dominion of God. He's talking beyond the physical heaven. Can we say amen? Amen. We know that the physical heaven is the dominion of angels. So Jesus is talking beyond heaven as we know heaven. And now, by now, our churches should not be very conscious of a heaven that is more than this heaven. Because you can become more heavenly than people in heaven. Because these heavenly things are things beyond the present heaven. These earthly things are things beyond the present earth. They are the stratification of life for a world to come. That world to come is a world in God. Even though it's to come, but it is in God. That is actually the original world of God. But it is to come, meaning it's appearing to us. It is through preaching and teaching that it's appearing. Oh, glory to God. So no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven. And even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. So that man that was speaking was already dwelling in heaven. He was an heavenly dweller. Can we say amen? So even the heavens, they are heavens. That's why we know that the present heaven of angels is a stratification of different abode of life in heaven. So even in heavenly life, not all life are the same. When you move into the present heaven, not all life. When you enter into the world of principalities, powers, might and dominion, it's a kind of an heavenly life. It's a dominion of life. Like you were teaching that, there was a time, God, I just saw a vision in my spirit of how heaven looks like. I saw a very vast domain than the earth. The earth is not just a fragment of heaven. Can we say amen? Amen? You know that there are more inhabitants in heaven than the earth. I don't know if you know that. Maybe at most we have 7 billion people on earth. Do you know how many billions of angels exist? So think about even the natural space of heaven. Vast domain. So when you move from each level of life in heaven to another, life morphs. So there are different states of life, even in the present heaven. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
I'm saying this to foreshadow the heaven of God. Like there are also seasons of evolution. There is metamorphosis in everlasting life. I want to go into the book of John, because that's what John was showing us. Epistle of John is showing you how you make progress in everlasting life till you come into touching the word of life that was from the beginning. Because by the time John was talking, he was bearing witness. He was a witness that was talking. He was a witness. He was beyond the preacher. He was a witness. That which we have seen. That we have beheld the handling the word of life. So they brought eternal life from that to undo. That eternal life. Because eternal life is a dart. You know, it was pointing to eternal life. But because of the fact that they were witnesses, they brought it near. Glory to God. How many of you know that eternal life is coming near us? That world is eating us, sir. It's not that. It's not, you know, they will bring it from that. They will bring it from that. We say that thing. And then you say something else, that. It's far. That house. So they're going to bring it from that house. When it becomes from that house to this house, it means that it has become witness. So what he's telling you that eternal life has appeared to us. So that thing is not far anymore. We are handling the word. The word of life. Can we say amen? Amen. Meaning the key into that word, we have it. Those apostles could shut you out of it. They were authorized eternal life agents on earth. That's how God functions. Can we say amen? Never train your soul to hate anybody. That's what the Lord taught me. Train your soul to be a lover. Because if you hate an eternal life vessel, eternal life will hate you. So how can eternal life hate you? Meaning it will reject you. That's all. Just train your soul to be a lover. Don't train your soul now. Let me, you know, at times I speak as a pastor. Train yourself to love people. Much more love your brethren. Don't allow anything to make you hold anybody. Those training are not good. Satan will use it against you. Hallelujah. I don't know, am I talking? So, stratification of life in the present heaven is a witness of the movement of life or the morphing evolution of life in the heaven of God. Everlasting life is the heavenly domain, and there are stratification of life there. There's incorruptible life. There is life that is undefiled, and there is an unfading life. They are not the same thing. You can have incorruptible seed. You'll be born of incorruptible seed. So you come into a state of dominion, but it's not full state. And I found out that there's incorruptible seed as a word, but there is a testimony of incorruptible seed. So you have to now journey from the word into the spirit or the testimony. Can we say amen? Amen. That's the difference between the young men and the fathers. The young men had the word of God that is able to overcome the wicked one. But you had fathers that were already fellowshipping from the beginning. And you know the interesting thing, all of those people, all of them, including the fathers, needed to come into the realm where they will become true. So you meaning that even the fathers that were handling the beginning, they still have seasons of journey. Because you have to hold testimony of Jesus till that testimony generates prophecy. I'm not getting your amen. Yeah. Pastor, there are seasons of journeying in the blood. You will journey till a time comes where you have the mark of the true God. So you had fathers that knew the beginning, but they still needed to be true. They needed to be true. So there's journey in the heavens. Like we have journey in the present heaven, certified by different kind of life of angels. So angelic life is not the same. So we should not have problem with saying life. Somebody said to me, why are you always saying life, 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 life? Life is life. Life is not life. In the angelic world, when you call cherub and you call seraph, you can't say they are the same thing. If I went there show, you find out that they are different. All of them are angels, but they are angelic manifestations, differing. They are different witnesses of life. So life is not just life. So when you move into everlasting life, living soul life is not the same thing as true life. When a soul becomes true, it's not the same thing. You will see the, you know, just like you have in biology, they teach us metamorphosis. And you see that it is put in a diagram. You see the state. When a soul moves from the dominion of the living God and climax into the true God, you will see the difference in the manner of life and the conversation that exudes. Can we say amen? Now, I'll get here in a bit. Let me just round up from John 3. We'll come here. The Son of Man was in heaven. So Jesus was already an heavenly man there. And Jesus had to finish curriculum of heaven to become true and faithful. Can we say amen? Amen. By John 4, Jesus said, I have a work to do. By John 4, verse 34, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Finish his work. And I told you, I said, this is the work of the Father. Can we say amen? I can't hear you say amen.
Amen.
Now, before this, Jesus already had the seal of the living God. He had a kind of sealing. If you go to John 3, can we start from 32? So he that cometh from above is above all, and he that is of the head is earthly, and he speaketh of the head. So when you say speaketh, it's not just talking about, Pastor sir, he's not talking about, he's actually witnessing or prophesying. So a man of the head is a prophet of the head. So that dominion is wearing the dominion, because prophets wear dominion. Prophets wear kingdom. Can we say amen? So that's speaking. Let's say someone is speaketh of the head. It is like he's prophesying a life called earth. So he that coming from heaven is what? Above all. All right? There's one scripture I'm looking for. I hope I get it here. Huh? Verse 32. So what he had what? Seen and heard, he testified. And no man what? Received this testimony. Next verse. Thank you. He that has received his testimony had said to his seal that what? God is true. Hallelujah. Now, I want to finish it. Go. So, for he whom God has sent speaketh what? The words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure what? Unto him. The Father what? Loveth the Son and giveth all things into his hand. Now, there's another verse. Amen. Now, take me back. All things into his hand. There's another verse in chapter 13. So you have all things. They are all things of the living God. And they are all things of the true God. What I mean is that there, you can come into an understanding of the living God. It's a measure of that life. But it's not all of the things of God. Thank you. Aha. Amen. You know, at times, Bible, when they put some things, we need to just pay attention to them. He said all things into his hand in chapter 3. In chapter 13, he said all things into his hands. So I just feel that the Son of God, he came into a journey from season to season. While he was on the earth, he had some all things of God, but not complete all things of God. Because in chapter 4, he now said, I have a work to do. So that work is to now come into what? All of the things of the Father. So when Jesus was speaking, he had some of all things of God. He had some kind of access to a word. But Jesus was conscious of a progressive journey. So that's why he said, I have a work to do. What is that work? To finish his work. So when I finish his work, I will have all of his name. So Jesus had some of the name of the Father when he was on the earth. At least he had, can we say amen?
Amen.
He had a portion of God, but he didn't have all of it. So Jesus said, my will is to finish his work. Now in chapter 17, Jesus said, I have glorified thee on earth. I like the word, everybody say, glorified thee on earth. When you finish Everlasting curriculum is a kind of glory. And I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. So in chapter 4, he had not finished it. I'm just showing you the mobile. Jesus journeyed through heavens. He passed through heaven. He has, that, so ascension is evolution from one state of incorruptible life till you come into the peak of incorruptible life. Can we say amen? Yeah. Incorruptible life also, they are in their measures. So I said, I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do. So then he was now, what? He was now calling for. Now, oh Father, glorify me with thy own self. Can we say amen? So he was calling for eternal life. Now, what is eternal life? Eternal life is that they may know thou, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Can we say amen?
Amen.
So you need to finish the work to come into the full allocation of God. So when you finish the work, you will be sealed with the name of the true God. You will be true. What does it mean to be true? It means that you have finished the work of the Father. And you are capped as that. You become a work of the Father. An authentic work of the Father. So it only takes a work of the Father that is true. That can begin to call for eternal life. Can we say amen?
Amen.
I can't hear you say amen.
Amen.
Now let's go to 1 John chapter 1. God will give me speed here. Can we say amen? Hallelujah. So that which was from the beginning, look at that. Which you have heard, which we have what? Seen with our eyes. And we have what? Looked upon. And our hands have what? And so this is how you journey. So this was men that saw the architecture of life, eternal. They saw it, they looked upon it. Their hands handling. When you say handling, they're already professing. They used it and they began to profess it. Verse 2. For life was what? Manifested. Life was manifested. And we have what? Seen it. Everybody say we. So that we is a fellowship that they have the soul approval to publish that life. They cannot make you an engineer except you do the training and the exams, then they'll now induct you into the body of engineers. Can we say amen? Meaning when it comes to things concerning engineering, it takes that fellowship, that body, to publish the authentic one. So if you don't have an engineering number, you're not an engineer. You know that they have number. So if you meet an engineer and you call yourself an engineer, he will ask you, what's your number? If you cannot talk, he will look at you with some kind of disdain. Meaning you are a technician. You know all those people that fix radio, they call themselves an engineer. If you meet an engineer, I remember there was one lecturer when I was in school, it was called Baba Lucas. He was an old engineer then. He was telling his, I am number 3. I'm number 3. Meaning that in the body of fellowship of engineers, he has a place. So in the fellowship of the Father and Son, there are places. Those are places of wonder. So even in wonders, there are seats of one men to be wondered at. There are men that you have done work and they will induct you. So in this order, there are men you will meet there. By the time they induct you into the fellowship of the Father and Son, you will meet some people already sitting there. They'll say, welcome. Welcome, Dixon. Now listen. Those men will forever be your fathers. You don't understand. You have eternal life, bro. Some men have used the word more before you came in. So for life was manifested. Oh, glory to God. I can hear your amen. I'm seeing a world before me. A world of men in their arrangement, held us. I just see the intention of God raising all of us that are here. They want to make you an elder of eternal life. Is that not beautiful? Oh, you are not convinced. For life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness. And show you what? That eternal life. So this is beyond eyewitness. These were witnesses now. There were eyewitnesses of his death and resurrection. But here, John was a witness of that eternal life, meaning that eternal life, which was with the Father, we have seen it, we bear witness and show you. Show you means that we are witnessing it. So eternal life has a body. And that is the destiny of eternal life. Eternal life wants to enter the body, touch the earth, move amongst men. Can we say amen? Amen. Oh, you are not saying amen. That eternal life which was with the Father and was what? Manifested unto us. So this us is the fellowship of those that have come into the life and the witnessing of eternal life. Now, let me say this. Can we say amen? Amen. The life of the true God is the beginning of eternal life. So when you are true, you have eternal life. So that's why I said one time, I said eternal life is twin. You have to, you need to understand that at times these apostles, they use this word with skill. But when you read John, at times he will call everlasting life as eternal life. It's not like they are confusing us. They are just letting you know that once you have the life of him that is true, you are already in the world of eternal life. Yes, that's the beginning of eternal life. So you must understand the divide there. Can we say amen? Amen. I can't hear you say amen. Amen. Verse 3. Let's read down quickly to verse 5. Then I'll take. That which we have seen and heard, we declare unto you. Thank you. That which we have seen and heard, we declare unto you. That ye also may have what? Fellowship with what? Us. Now listen to me. Can we say amen? Amen. You know, it didn't say that ye also may have fellowship with him. Why us? Because now we are what? We are witnesses of eternal life. Can we say amen? The major labor of this work right now is to raise witnesses. That's how eternal life will be accessed on the earth. There are people living it already. It has to be like that. There are people already living it, using it. They are using it on the earth. That is how it can be accessible on a global scale. That you might have fellowship with us. So it means if you don't have fellowship with these people, you can't access eternal life. You will not be able to access it. You will not be able to access the way of that life. God's servant, when he came to Ibadan last 2 weeks, he took out Jenlet's prophecy. And he was talking about, you know that Jenlet's prophecy? It was one of the most accurate prophecies of the end time walk. He talked about the walk, talking about redemption both particularly and universally. He said, this redemption will be done particularly. When in particular, they will choose places where they will reveal this thing. And that's why I'm saying this, so that I'm not saying this out of a proud heart. You will go to some places, you will not find it, because it has to be first particularly. You people don't know that Undo is a blessed city. Yeah. Sir, you can choose to leave Trinidad and Tobago and come and live in Undo. I'm telling you that if you have a place, even a physical territory, where the teaching is taught, that territory is not an ordinary region anymore. Eternal life chose that territory. You don't understand? There are some places that it will be after it's in review particularly. It is at the level of universal revealing that it will get there. It means that they choose certain city for a particular walk. How many of you know that this city is blessed? This town is blessed. Some of you don't believe. You say, you want to tie us in Undo? I'm not like that, honestly. I'm speaking by the Spirit. If it's not God moving you away, just stay. Say, Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. I'm already clashing with some thoughts. Can we say amen? You must love eternal life to the point that you are ready to settle where it settles. So, particularly revealed. I'm interested in that. Where it is not particular. Because there has to be a fellowship that life is confessed, conscripted with. They will own the life. To witness a life is that you have owned the life. So, and truly, he says, and truly, our fellowship is with what? With the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. Can we say amen? Amen. So it's not just an ordinary fellowship, it's the fellowship of the Father and Son. All right? So you can see, the Father and the Son will bring in witnesses into their fellowship for the purpose of bringing other witnesses. So it's from witness to witness. Can we say amen? Amen. Now, let me say this additionally. Are you with me? Yes, let me move to the next level of thought. Now, this particular epistle was written to complete eternal life work. When I mean eternal life, let me say it in a language you understand. It's to finish curriculum of salvation. This particular epistle. This epistle of John is a latter epistle of John. It's a latter epistle. In epistle, you know, epistle also have their age. How do I know? Take me to chapter 5, first, verse 20. So when John wrote this epistle, he was writing to churches that had already begun to, they were already in an everlasting procession, meaning they were already traveling in heaven. They were heavenly sojourners. So, nobody in this church is head. There is no head here. All the little children in this church, they have appeared in heaven. All of them. So, that is how I knew that. They have weaned them from the head completely. Because when you see the man of the way he's writing the epistle, you will know he's writing to churches that were all servants. I don't have time to move into the book of Revelation, but because first John, second John, third John, they are close to book of Revelation. So this is a church of heavenly sojourners. So the epistle was written to bring them into the perfection of heavenly life. That's all. Meaning the appearing of the Son of God in that season was to conclude a season of appearing. To now bring them into knowing Him. That is true. Oh, you didn't hear what I'm saying? And the Son of God has come and has given us what? An understanding that we may know Him that is true. That we may all know as a church, that body of believers, that we may all know Him that is true. But there's comma. But in essence, we are in Him. So there are two we's here. When you are reading this thing, you have to wait on them. So there is a we that must know Him that is true. But there is a we that are in Him that is true. So there are two we's here. There are those that they want to bring into the life. There are those that are already witnessing to the life. We are in Him that is true. We are in Him that is true. I notice that eternal life language. Let me tell you something. When eternal life language is a we language. Even if you are the only one, physically, you will not say hi. There's a way they talk. They are conscious of their fellows, even if they are not physically in the flesh. We. When they say we, you say, who are the people? In fact, in eternal life, one vessel bearing witness to that life is a we man. He also shows you the brotherhood of eternal life, everlasting life. It's a very strong brotherhood. Because one way we know that you are passed from death to life, it's not by anything. The only way we know that you are passed from death to life is that you have loved the brethren of that life. So these are not Christ's brethren. Can we say amen? These are brethren that eternal life is already appearing to them. When you love those brethren, then we know that you are past. Can we say amen? Are you following my thoughts? Little scattered, but just follow my thoughts. So we know that we are passed from death. We know. This is how we know. I've taught this here before. I said, the only way we know that you have life is by your love. Because life, love is a proof that you have life. Hate is a proof that you still have death. Don't cover darkness or hate. Don't try to excuse yourself. As long as you have hate, it means you still have death dwelling in you. So we know that we are passed from death to life. This epistle is full of lines. Because we love the brethren. Everybody say the brethren. Now all those churches were brethren churches. They were churches of servants, brethren, journeying to become prophets. They were all prophets at different levels of ascension in heavenly life. Now the highest place you get to is when you become a full prophet of everlasting life. Full manifestation of eternal life is to be a prophet and a witness of life. So that is, they were all journeying. They were a company of prophets. Can we say amen? I'm not hearing you say amen. Amen. So I said, we know we are passed from there when you love the brother. He that loveth not his brother, what? Abideth in death. So this is death still in the region of the heavens. So you must journey in the heavens and overcome death. And you do that on, you will not do that until you stand in him that is true. So you have to find yourself in him that is true to fully pass over death. So there is death in the everlasting world. There's the death is a different kind of death. Can we say amen? There's still tendency of corruption. That's why they have to move you quickly. So when a soul is within the region of the living God, heaven is not satisfied at the state of that soul. Why? They know that that soul can, even though you have a measure of dominion, but you have not overcome the powers of corruption. Meaning that soul can still perish. So the passion of heaven, when I mean heaven, heavenly life, is to bring you to witnessing. What does it mean to witness? To come to a place where you are saved, you can be kept. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, you are not saying amen.
Amen.
Meaning you are kept. You are kept. To be kept is that you are saved. Salvation means you are safe. If you are saved, you must be safe. Safe from the powers of corruption. So the appearing of the true light is to keep men in the true God. All the churches, they wanted to avest all of them to bearing witness. So I like when Reverend Mzuhi said that you are not the witness of everlasting life is at the end. It is until you pick the name of the Father that you are a witness of everlasting life. Without that name, you are not yet a witness. You know, in academics, there is, is it assistant reader? What do you call it? Before you become prof. Associate prof. The reader. What is that reader? Somebody that they are, there's a way they call it reader. It's almost like you are in preparation stage. They will not call you a prof. They will call you associate prof. Meaning you are under a prof. So you are still under the true God. Listen to this. You are still under the true God until you pick that title of the true God. Now, what makes you keep that title of the true God is that you have used life to the point where you are now what? You are now been sealed with the name of the Father. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Meaning you will love the brethren that keep the testimony. Then you will now love God. So 1 John chapter 3. From verse 14 down to 16, it shows you how to love the brethren. 1 John chapter 4, he now is talking about loving God. So now you know, okay, so there is loving brethren, then there is loving God. Now I'm going to come here, amen. All these men, you know, the way they arrange chapters, a chapter is another ascension.
So chapter 4 is higher than chapter 3. In chapter 4, it begins to talk about being born of love, being perfected in the love of God. Can we say amen? As a proof that you are having life. Now, take me back to chapter 3, amen. Let me just gradually move my thoughts to an end. Are you enjoying anything here? So he said, he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hated his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has what? Eternal life abiding in him. Then, before that, he began from Cain. So you know that Cain and Abel, there were some kind of everlasting prototype to show you the kind of conversation that should occur in that realm. Can we say amen? Amen. Take me to chapter 2 quickly, verse 7. We'll read from verse 7 to 11. Then I'll move to chapter 4. So, brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment. But an old commandment, which you had from the beginning. Can we say amen? Amen. The old commandment is the word that you have had from the beginning. So there's a word of the beginning. All right? Can we say amen? Amen. What did I say there is? So before John brought this new commandment, they had a commandment of everlasting life at a measure. Can we say amen? Amen. They had the incorruptible seed. They had the word of the incorruptible seed. Meaning the Son of God has come to them as water. Because, there's a transition from bread to water before you find blood. So you must eat, you must touch water before you find blood. So the Son of God has appeared to them as water. But now it's not saying that this Son of God is not just going to appear as water alone, but was water and blood. I believe that those two things are in everlasting life. There's the appearing of the Son of God in everlasting life as water. There's the appearing of the Son of God in everlasting life as what? Blood. To complete the full access to food. Life everlasting. Can we say amen? Amen. So he said, I write an old commandment. The old commandment is the word that you had from the beginning. Now, look at verse. Again, a new commandment I write unto you. Which thing is what? True in him. So these commandments are things. Are you with me? What did I say they are? Everything is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now what? Shineth. So the shining of the true light was to make them stand in the true God as witnesses. The true light now shineth. Now, the next verse is now explaining the way of the true light. How you know that the true light is walking in your midst is this. He said, he that saith is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. Can we say amen? You know, this thing looks simple. It's not simple. They are showing you how they move you into the dominion of the true God. That those that will become true are those that will be standing perfect in love. Meaning when you look at them, you can, when you scan them, there is nothing of the substance of the present. Nothing that you can call iniquity. No offense. Nothing that offend can be found in them. They have used word and testimony to the end. Now they are standing as witnesses. So a witness of everlasting life is a what? Soul perfected in love. So he that said is in the light and hated his brother is in darkness even until now. Verse 10. He that loved his brother abided in the light. And there is what? None occasion of stumbling in him. I like that word stumbling. That word stumbling is called offense. The word stumbling is from, another word for stumbling is offense. Meaning they have taken away things that can offend. So we know that we are passed from death to life because we love the brethren. So how you know that you have life is your ability to love brethren that are keeping that life. Oh, you don't get what I'm saying? You can't have the Father's seal except you love those that are keeping the Father. So there's a way that they will train me. My love with Reverend Busu is a training to love God. So you can't love God if you have not loved brethren, keeping God, keeping the things of God. That's what they're saying. So here that we know that we are passed from death unto life. This is beyond the division of Christ. Like I said, this is a church. This is a church in heaven. He that loveth his brother abideth in death. And we know, verse 15, whosoever hated his brother is a murderer. So there are still things in us that can murder. God told me that he's going to shine light on this thing more. Because God said he will teach us how to be a company of pure love. There's an unfeigned love that is in everlasting life. Unfeigned, very unfeigned. It is too pure, too sincere. He said that love will be a demonstration of light. The love is actually a manifestation of a light that has prevailed over every form of darkness. Take me back to that scripture, 1 John chapter 3, verse 15. Thank you. Now look at verse 6. Hereby, can we all say hereby? It says, hereby we perceive we now love God. Now, I like the word he used. He said, we perceive. But I don't know if you are following my thoughts. Now, all this thing, Pastor, this God here is the true God. Because, you know, when you are reading Epistle of John, if you can read it from the back, you know that the whole appearing is the appearing of the true God. So when they are talking about loving God, in the Epistle of John, he's loving who? The true God. So they are saying you are not qualified to love the true God. You have to love the brethren of the true God. The brethren, keeping the testimony. When you love them, it says, hereby we perceive we love what? God. We perceive. It didn't even say you are loving God. Now you are not getting me. You thereby we perceive we love God. This is when they now say, okay, now you can love the true God. So all these are commandments in the blood. Inside that blood, there's a journey. The Lord was telling me that inside the blood, there's a journey. You will journey in the blood until you come into loving the true God. And they will now give you his sin. How do you love the true God? He says, because he laid down his life for us. We ought. We, now he's now talking about that body of believers that are all pressing to be witnesses. He says, we ought to now what? Lay down our lives for the brethren. In particular, the brethren that are keeping that life. So God will design it such that amidst the brethren, they will make way for you to lay down your life for the journey into the full witnessing of that life. He said, we have to lay down our lives for our brethren. Can we say amen? 1 John chapter 4 from verse 1. So when John is talking about false prophet, I thought before that false prophet were those are false prophets. So false prophet in everlasting life are those that did not continue the journey of the true God or becoming true. So if you fall off at any point, you'll be false. That's what it means. It says false prophets are gone out. These false prophets, they were part of the those processing to the true God. All of them were marching. They were joining to the true God. When they fell out, they became false. Why? These ones will now become the hinderers of those that are joining. Satan was able to harvest some crop of those that will disturb the journey. There's nobody that can deal with you more than somebody that knew you. In this, God will keep all of us. You are not saved until you sit on the throne. It's good for the heart. Now go to verse 7. Beloved. So they were all beloved churches. Beloved churches are churches in everlasting life. But they must become true churches. Let love one another for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knows the true God. So the line of the true God is a love commandment. The new commandment is a love commandment. Is how you know those that have become true. They can keep the commandments of love from loving the brethren to loving God. Now look at verse 8. Let's read some few verses. He that loveth not. You know, we have taught this with milk lights. We'll have to teach it with everlasting lights. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, knoweth not the true God. For God is love. So you can explain the true God as love. Because love is settled life. Life that has coalesced. Can we say amen? Another word for love is mercy. That's how you measure the strength of God's life. That's why God sits on a mercy seat. Can we say amen? He's a full being of love. So they are saying those that will have the signature of the true God, they are those that have, they have tested them on every side of love commandment, and they were found flawless. So, he that loveth not, knoweth not God. It's a simple thing. For God is love. This is how you know. This is the line to measure your journey in knowing the true God. Verse 9. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God. So, like I thought before, I said, in everlasting life, you start from light. You climax in love. Light, if you look at those epistles, Pastor Tayo, light, God is light. Then after, you see God is life. Then the end of it is God is love. So love is the climax of light. Love is that is the proof that you have life. If any man loveth, it means that he has already acquired life. That's the only way. They will test your life by your love. So, and when you say love walk, this love walk is far from what we know as love walk in the dominion of Christ. Can we say amen? There are certain things now, Pastor Tayo, that I cannot do anymore. There's a scanner that quickly traps it, even at thought level. A thought becomes unholy at a realm. Something that you did freely before. You know, sin is not just sin. Like, when you are moving into the world of everlasting life, sin takes a different turn. Sin can be ignorance. You are coming short of a conversation. As long as you are coming short of that conversation, you have sin. It's a darkness that is sin. So part of the reason why the true light is shining is to excrete every form of darkness. Even for those that are migrating in everlasting life, they still have some portions of darkness. And they want to expire all the darkness. Can we say amen? For all of them to stand fully in love, they want them to be perfected in love. So perfection of love is the signature of the true God. How you know that the true God has done a work in his soul? Or perfection of love is the witnessing of the life of the true God. So if a man say, I love God, and hated his brother, he is a liar. So meaning you can't know the true God, and you have ability to hate. I don't understand why Jesus was the way he was. Jesus, at the height of his pain, could still release people. You know, that thing is not easy. You are worrying some things. But this one is like you are worrying some thoughts from staying in your mind. And at a point, you are worrying from you from saying, you don't say it, but it's still within your region of your mind. Meaning you are being assaulted. You know what I'm saying? You are being assaulted by people misunderstanding you. And you are not saying it. You are not saying how you feel about them. But you have thought it. But I'm saying that there is a realm where even the thought does not exist. God has conquered every form of animosity or whatever. You are just, you see them from a place of pure love. So when Jesus said, Father, have mercy on them, that was a being talking. That was a being in the true God. Because Jesus had the true God before he entered the cross. Father, have mercy upon them. That is how the true God talks. For they don't know what they say. He saw them from that height of love. So when you say you are witnessing, don't see it as anything abstract. Witnessing is actually the conversation of love. Now, inside the Godhead, they have a kind of love conversation that is a mysterion to man. You see, when you enter the fellowship of the God, there's a way they relate with each other. Number one thing, they don't talk about themselves. They are so selfless. They are children. They talk about each other. Holy Ghost has assigned himself forever that he will exalt our Lord Jesus Christ. That is his ministry. Then our Lord Jesus Christ has been appointed to say everything that his Father has taught him. Imagine, everything that he says is what he heard from his Father. And then when you meet the Father says, have you met my son? I put all things into his hands. So that is how their fellowship is. It's a fellowship of pure love. Now, anybody that enters into that fellowship has been rid of everything of the present. No wonder the man child is a child. So it means that when they say they are the man child, it means all of the Godhead are child. But this time we now have a man that is a child. They have succeeded in making a man a child. So a man child company is a company of pure love. Oh God, I want to know what this thing means. Say that. He that saith, I love the true God. The signature of the true God. You can't have the work of the true God and hate. So you're a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen. These are not ordinary brethren. They are carrying testimony. How can he love God, whom he hath not seen? So we will pass from loving the brethren to loving God. That season of perfection in the love of God is how you are born of the true God. So those that stand in God or in him that is true, they will have passed from death unto life. And they have used life to the point that they have been perfected in love. And that is the beginning of reigning. So the true God is the beginning of reigning. Can we say amen? May God grant us understanding. So I see that we are in a season where God, he will sit in our midst and he will begin to open the chapters of everlasting life. And we will change, we will morph, we will become witnesses of this life. We will join Jesus Christ, that is the faithful witness. We will become his brothers, meaning all of us will be faithful men. Can we begin to talk to God?
We believe you've heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the words that has come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our meetings? You can join us on Wednesdays for special teaching with Reverend Busuyi Olabode by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m. at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 Adeyemi College Road beside Mercyland Hospital, Ondo. For more information, please call 0806-509-8130 or 0703-395-8818 or visit our website www.fmli.org. Remain blessed.